So guys, I'm confused. Why are we even studying physics? Is it even a fundamental science?
I don't even know.
I would say physicists think it's a fundamental science because generally all scientists always think their own field is the most important.
No, but fundamental doesn't only mean the most important, but also serving as an essential component. Physics does explain how pretty much everything works.
Yeah, isn't physics defined to be the study of the laws of nature that govern the behavior of the universe? All other sciences have to do with the universe, therefore, they're all in a way based on physics.
Yeah, physics describes how all the other fields of science really work. Take biology, for instance. Physics can be used to describe exactly how certain things in biology happen.
I think physics encompasses a lot more than people generally believe. Physicists do a lot. And also, physicists work with a lot of other sciences, sharing their knowledge of physics to help solve many problems.
A lot of professions require physics because while physics may be the fundamental science, I think it is based on a fundamental principle of life, problem solving. And all professions definitely require problem solving skills.
Yeah, that's pretty true. Life in general requires problem solving skills. You're always going to have to go through the steps of problem solving on a day-to-day basis. You know, realizing a problem exists, analyzing the causes of the problem, identifying possible solutions, choosing one, and implementing it. And then, of course, evaluating whether or not that solution was the right one. I know my future profession will definitely require this skill. I want to be a doctor, and I will always be faced with patients with certain symptoms, and will have to figure out what the cause is, and then how to cure them.
I want to be a dermatologist, so patients will definitely come to me with problems, and I will have to look at the problem, analyze the causes, and figure out a solution.
Problem solving will also be part of the basis of my profession, sports physical therapy. People will come to me with injuries or issues, and I will have to help them.
Yeah, I want to be a physical therapist too. Maybe not sports, but I will still be faced with the same task.
My plan is to become a physical therapist, too.
All of our professions are definitely based on problem-solving method. How do you think the problem-solving method that is used in science is dependent on critical thinking skills?
Well, first we can start off by asking, in order to solve any problem in physics, you need to use the problem-solving method. Am I right?
Yep, you are correct. The problem-solving method is very vital in order to find out the answer to various problems. It helps you visualize what the situation is and what you need to find out in an organized fashion.
So what would you have to do to apply the problem-solving method for a physics question?
First, draw a free body diagram as a visual. State my knowns and unknowns, and then find the right equation and solve for the variable that the problem is asking for.
Well, if it's simply that, then how can anyone improve the ability to understand science as a whole. If one simply absorbs information that is given to you, such as equations and facts, how are they challenging themselves? One must further their knowledge past the memorization of equations and learn how to question their ideas. Just going through the motions of the problem-solving method is not enough, and that is why it is dependent on critical thinking skills. And then you can reflect upon your own thoughts and ideas in your conclusion and better support your argument.
So I know that critical thinking skills have to do with the problem-solving method used in science, but what exactly are critical thinking skills?
Isn't it when you analyze something and form arguments?
Yes, but a more thorough definition would be the mental process of actively and skillfully conceptualizing, applying, analyzing, synthesizing, and evaluating information to reach an answer or conclusion.
So as you may have already guessed, it is much easier to solve all types of problems when using critical thinking skills. These problems could apply to all types of examples in life, including homework problems in this very class.
For instance, critical thinking is greatly used when considering a situation such as sound and energy. You can observe that you can hear a sound like a song from speakers, and then we are told that sound produces energy, which is a fact. We can then make inferences about this, saying that the speakers are moving and assume that this could be due to the energy that is produced. This can lead someone to have an opinion that energy makes the speakers move and argue this with the idea that it implies that it does work. This can be challenged using the equation such as work equals force times distance. We discover that sound does do work.
Speaking of critical thinking, I really wish I knew how to study for this class better.
Well, guys, have you heard of Bloom's taxonomy? Because his ideas are really important.
Well, Benjamin Bloom created this taxonomy to categorize the level of abstraction of questions that commonly occur in educational settings. It provides a structure to categorize test questions.
Yeah, and it's important because professors will characteristically ask questions within particular levels, and if you can determine the level that will be on your exam, you can study more effectively using appropriate strategies.
So what exactly are these levels we're talking about?
Well, the taxonomy has 5 levels: knowledge, comprehension, application, analysis, synthesis, and evaluation. So, in the knowledge level, the student should have knowledge of major ideas, dates, and events, and may have to list or define answering basic who, what, where, when, why, and hows.
Yeah, that's right, Lonnie. Also, comprehension involves understanding info, translating into new context, and predicting consequences. Students need to be able to summarize, distinguish, and associate terms. The next level, application, involves using information, concepts, and theories in the problems to demonstrate, calculate, classify, and experiment.
Yeah, those ideas are totally right, Janetta. There are still 2 more levels, though, synthesis and evaluation. In synthesis, students need to use old ideas to create new ones and generalize from given facts. They need to be able to integrate, rearrange, and solve what-if questions. Finally, in evaluation, you must make choices based on reasoned judgment and verify value of evidence and need to be able to properly convince, judge, and explain to others.
Wow, that's really interesting, Katie. It seems like we can actually apply Bloom's taxonomy to our lives here at SDSU. Maybe if we start studying like he suggests, we'll get even better grades.
Another way to look at critical thinking is to compare the Big Bang Theory to existential postmodernist thought, because they all involve deductive reasoning.
Well, to quickly clarify the Big Bang Theory, most of us know it as an effort to explain what happened at the very beginning of our universe.
And don't think of the Big Bang Theory as a giant explosion. Think of it as an expansion. Imagine it as a balloon expanding, an infinitesimally small balloon expanding to the size of our current universe.
Exactly. According to the standard theory, our universe sprang into existence as singularity around 13.7 billion years ago.
What does singularity mean exactly?
Singularities are thought to be zones which defy our current understanding of physics. They are thought to exist at the core of black holes, which are areas of intense gravitational pressure.
The pressure is thought to be so intense that finite matter is actually squished into infinite density. These zones of infinite density are called singularities. Our universe is thought to have begun as an infinitesimally small, infinitely hot, infinitely dense something, a singularity.
So, in essence, something caused our universe to be created out of this singularity.
Okay, I somewhat understand now. It reminds me of something we talked about in my philosophy class. We read about a philosopher by the name of William Rowe, who expanded upon Thomas Aquinas' theory of contingent beings.
Yeah, it was Aquinas' theory that all things came into existence as a result of other things. That is, all things that exist now are results of things that existed before. For instance, I'm a result of my parents, who are results of their parents, and so on. In other words, we are all contingent beings.
But there cannot be an infinite regress of contingent beings, meaning you cannot go back infinitely and find a cause of a cause forever. There has to be some one thing that is a cause for all causes.
For philosophers such as these, that one thing would be described as God. But for physicists, it would be the Big Bang Theory.
That does sound very much like the Big Bang Theory. Now I see how you can apply an existential postmodern theory to the Big Bang Theory. It seems so complicated, but really both theories are based on the idea that one thing caused everything.
Yes, that is exactly it.
Well, that was a tough discussion. I just can't take no more. I know that I can't take